This morning we have Brother Smith here, and I could go on for a good while just talking about Brother Smith and all good stuff, and I appreciate all that he's done for me and how he's counseled me, how he's rebuked me a few times, and I do love Brother Smith greatly, and I'm glad that he's here with us today. Brother Smith, just come on and preach, brother. I'm glad his wife is here as well.
All right. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Smith. I appreciate you.
Forgive me for my stick. That's something new. I only use it because I don't like to fall. Last September, I herniated a disc in my back on Thursday. Flew out on Saturday to Iowa to start a meeting. And did all right Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday preaching. Right in the middle of my sermon on Sunday night, I fell flat on my face on the platform before God and everybody right in the middle of my sermon. I got up as quickly as I could and asked the people to forgive me. I told them I'd never done that before. But I did notice some were nodding off and thought I ought to do something to get their attention. But I've got to have it fixed. And it's something that can't be fixed with baling wire and duct tape. So I lean on the crutch and we'll get by with that. When I fell, the associate pastor ran up on the platform and tried to help me up. And I slugged him. Told him, leave me alone. They always grab you in the wrong places trying to help you up. And nevertheless, we're going to get through this. And we haven't missed a sermon or missed a service because of it. We just keep on going. Not as fast as we used to. I have noticed, though, they sure give you a lot better attention on airplanes. You get to go on first. And besides that, if somebody messes with you, it's a weapon. You can knock them upside the head. And you can sit in your pew when you're at church and the ushers are there and you can goose them. Yeah, it's interesting what you can do with a walking stick, and if nothing else, you can use it to walk with. Open your Bible to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Thank you for praying for my wife over the past months. She's gone through cancer surgery, cancer treatment, and she's doing very well. And she's finished all of the treatment. She's about to go back now this next week or week after next for her follow-up visits with the doctor. I think it's 3 months after you finished your treatments and something of that nature. But nevertheless, we're grateful for her. And we believe that not only did we have good doctors, but we have a great God. And many people in churches like yours have been praying for her. And I thank you very, very much. I'm going to begin preaching about missions tonight, but this is Mother's Day, and I want to preach a Mother's Day message today. How many mothers do we have in here? Amen. Good. And it's a blessing to see you, and God bless you, Mother. John chapter 19, I want to begin to read in verse number 25. The context is about Calvary, and Jesus is hanging on the cross. And the Bible says, if you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me? The Bible says in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Now, I want you to notice the statement there, Jesus speaking from the cross. Hands, feet nailed to the cross, crowned with thorns, side pierced. And he says, woman, talking to his mother, behold thy son. Then he said to his disciple, behold thy mother. I want you to notice that statement, behold thy mother. Heavenly Father, help me this morning to bring this message and help me to honor our mothers. Thank you for good, godly mothers. Thank you for their everlasting influence in the lives of their children. Thank you for what they mean to a husband. God, we ask you now to use the message to stir our hearts to be better Christians, and especially mothers today, to be committed mothers. Mothers committed to God, committed to their husband, committed to their children. For Christ's sake. Now fill me with thy spirit. Speak through me this morning. And use me to be a blessing. And in case, Father, there's a mother here that's not saved, I pray that you'd save her this very morning. And if there be anyone here unsaved, on this Mother's Day, save their soul. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God in his own providence laid his hand upon a young virgin in Israel through whom he had bring his son into the world. An old prophet of God named Simeon saw Jesus as he was brought into the temple to fulfill the Jewish custom. The prophet recognized Jesus as the Son of God, though he was only 8 days old. Then he looked at Mary and Jesus' mother, and as she happily and proudly watched her miracle son, he said to her in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, a sword shall pierce thy soul. That old prophet saw that little 8-day-old baby Jesus, and God gave him vision beyond that moment, 33 years down the road, to when Jesus would be hanging on that old rugged cross and Mary standing there at the foot of the cross looking up at her son. That old prophet said, a sword shall pierce thy soul. Now Mary stands at the foot of the cross, and she watches her son. And by the way, her son was also her Savior. She watches as he suffers and dies. And she looks back in her memory. And she feels that sword pierce her soul as prophesied by Simeon 33 years earlier. And as she looks up and sees him hanging there and dying there on that old rugged cross, she remembers, no doubt, Jesus' hands as a little baby, soft and tender, but now bleeding and nail-pierced. No doubt she remembered his little, finely brushed hair laying aside, but now his hair had been torn out and was blood-stained from the crown of thorns. She looked at him and remembered his little naked body at birth. And now then, he's hanging naked on an old rugged cross in our shame, dying as a ransom for our sins. She remembers how as a little boy, no doubt, he had come home saying, Mama, I'm thirsty. And she'd give him water, and now she stands helpless as that sword pierces her soul, hearing him say, I thirst. She sees his fevered brow and she hears the people as they mock him. Oh, how this mother, Mary, loved her son. She watches him suffer as she suffers with him. And the sword pierces her soul. Now, Christ had already spoken twice from the cross. First time, he spoke as an intercessor. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Secondly, he speaks as the Savior when he says to the thief that said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, as a mother's son, Jesus speaks to a broken-hearted mother and said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." What he was saying to her was, "Mother, from this day forth, I want you to look at John as your son. And John, from this day forth, I want you to look at my mother, Mary, as your mother, and care for her as children are to do for their parents as they get older." John was the proven kind of Christian that Jesus could trust to care for his precious mother as she was growing older. By the way, what can God trust you to do for him? Let me ask you, how do you look at your mother today? How do you view her? I'll tell you how the Bible tells us that we're to view our mothers. We're to look with honor upon them. Our body grew and developed inside of her for 9 months, and she suffered and travailed to give us life. And she cared for us and taught us and fed us and wept over us and cared for us as we were growing up. No wonder God's word said in Exodus 20, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, which thy Lord hath given thee." Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." God's saying, I give special blessings to those that honor their father and mother. And then we ought to not only look at them with honor, we ought to look at them with obedience. You know, God gives us mothers and fathers to stand in His place when we're young and don't have enough sense to make decisions for ourselves. And by the way, that goes through our teenage years when perfectly normal children suddenly go brain dead. Thank God for mamas and daddies that will love them and teach them and hold them accountable and help keep them going in the right direction. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And what that "in the Lord" means, as if they were the Lord. For this is right. We're to look at our parents with honor and look at them with obedience. And then thirdly, we're to look at them with love. This was the way Jesus looked at his mother as he hung there on that cross. The Christian son and daughter will look at their mother with love if they're right with God. So we ought to look at our mothers with honor and obedience and love. Now, I've got to ask you this. What do you see when you look at the woman you call mother? What do you see? What did Jesus see as he looked down from the cross and Mary was standing there? He saw godliness in his mother. He saw tenderness in his mother. He saw love in his mother. He saw sacrifice in his mother. He saw understanding and compassion in his mother. What do you see when you look at your mother? Or what does your children see when they look at you, mother? Do they see a career woman or a Bible mother? What do they see when they look at you? Do they see one who is better at dancing or praying? What do your children see when they look at you? One who's a swinger or a servant? Do they see a drunkard or a saint? Do they see a mother that's domineering, critical, complaining, or a woman who loves her own husband and her children? Do you see one who suffered near death to bring you into this world and who has comforted your hurts and calmed your fears and bathed your wounds? Do you see one who's wiped away your tears and understands your failures? I sorrow for those who don't have the remembrance of a good, godly mother. When I think of my mother, I think of a little old lady that's not 5 foot tall, stooped shoulders, twisted, arthritic, wrinkled hands, one who served and cooked and worked to make life better for me. I see a woman who was a hard-working woman, had little pleasure in life outside of her family. I saw a mother who did without so I could have a little extra. When I think about my mother, I think about how we grew up on a farm and she did farm work like a man, plus her housework and plus her cooking, plus being a wife and mother. I remember her singing as she'd go about her chores. Her favorite song was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer." I remember a little old squeaky voice. She didn't have a pretty singing voice, but she had sing. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Until the day she died, I'd go visit her and she'd want me to sing those songs with her. I saw her and watched her as she stood there and washed dishes in a dishpan. She never had running water until she was already old. Never had an indoor toilet, indoor plumbing, until she was old. 1961, my brother-in-law and I built a house, a room onto the house and put a bathroom in and put a pump on the well and pumped water to the house. Daddy said, "I'll not use it." Said, "People in America's gone crazy. They're using the toilet indoors when they got a perfectly good outhouse and barn." And said, "They've got a perfectly good stove in the kitchen. They're cooking out in the backyard on a pan of coals." He said, "That just don't make sense." But he got sick that winter and he used it and he never went back to the others. I used to hear my mama sing, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms." I remember a mother that loved her Lord and loved her husband, loved her children, loved her church, and even loved and respected her preacher. Mother, I've got to ask you, what do you want your family to see when they look at you? Do you want them to see a woman or a lady? There's a difference, you know. Do you want them to see a Christian who loves God or a compromiser who loves the world? Mother, what do you want your children to see? Do you want them to see Christ in you or your sin in you? What do you want them to see? One who's living only for this world or one who lives in the light of eternity, wanting to serve God. Mother, what do you want your family to see when they look at you? One who runs from Christ and the Bible, or one who is submissive to Christ and the Bible? I've heard mothers say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not going to do it. What a terrible legacy they're leaving to their family. To remember a mother that says, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what Christ said, I'm going to do what I want to do. Mother, what does God see as He looks on you? Just as Jesus looked and beheld His mother, He's looking down at mothers today. And He's watching how we're living, how we're influencing our family, how we're building a Christian home, or how we're ignoring our responsibility in a Christian home. Remember in the Old Testament, Hagar? She was outcast. She and her son Ishmael, under a little tree, she said, Thou God seeth me. Let me tell you, God does see you today. He sees your life. He sees your spirit. He sees your attitude. He sees how you're living, how you're training your children, what kind of home you're building. What does God see when He looks at you, mother? Does He see your sin heavy on your heart? Does He see a mother who's lost and facing eternity without hope? When He looks at you, does He see one who hates to face life but is more afraid to face eternity? What does He see when He looks at you, mother? Does He see anger and hatred and bitterness because of circumstances beyond your control? Oh, you do know hurt, anger, bitterness. You hold that against someone. And holding that against someone does not hurt the person you're holding against, but it destroys you. And God wants us to deal with it just like it was any other sin, because we can't be right with God and have an angry, bitter, hateful heart. Does He see one whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ? He looked down on His mother. Does He see one who is dedicated to God with faith in His Word? Does He see a mother that is outward filled with outward beauty, or one who is filled with inward beauty? Because she seeks to live for God and be loyal to her family and the Word of God. I'm simply saying to you, mothers, you have an important job. More important for you to function and do your job well is that you keep a right spirit. We cannot ignore little things in our life without those little things becoming big things and affecting our love relationship with our husband, our love relationship with God, our relationship with our children, and how we influence them. Some mothers here today may be lost, and you need Jesus more than anything else in this life. The gift you ought to be longing for more than anything is the gift of eternal life, a gift that's free from God for you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you were raised in a Christian home and you had a godly mother that prayed for you as a child. But you've never been saved. You can remember your mother's love and your witness, yet you've not come to Christ. The most important need of your life today, mother, is to accept Christ as Savior. Let me tell you how important it is for mothers to be right and mothers to be sweet and mothers to love God. Ezekiel said, as is the mother, so go her daughters. Oh, my soul. Maybe there's a son or daughter here this morning, and you need to be saved. Nothing would please your mother more than to know that your sins are forgiven and you have life everlasting. You say, but my mother's already dead. You think she doesn't see? There's a great cloud of witnesses in glory looking over, watching what's going on down there. Encouraging us to run the race that's set before us. And I promise you, if you had a saved mother, she's looking on, and the greatest desire of her heart in heaven is that you get saved. There's some son or daughter here today needs to be saved. Maybe there's a son or daughter that needs to get their life right with God. What better thing could you give your mama than a life that's dedicated to God? These little kids sung, here am I, send me. Let me tell you, if they don't have the right kind of mama at home, chances are they're not going to be obedient to God when He speaks to their heart. Oh, the need of mamas being right. Daddy's work. And of course, in society today, so many mamas work also and have to work, but your responsibilities at home are still the same. They don't go away, do they? God bless you, mamas. If you knew the impact and influence you had on your children for life and eternity, it might help you in deciding how you're going to walk and what kind of decisions you'll make in life. I have 3 daughters. I have 9 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. I want them to be saved. Most of them are, but not all. I want them to be saved. I promise you this, some son or daughter here today, you have a mother and a daddy that's saved. They want you to be saved. Hey, even those in hell want you to be saved. You remember the rich man in hell? He was begging for someone to be sent from heaven back to his brothers from the dead. He knew they were coming to that place called hell, and he didn't want them to come. I'm here to tell you today, if you've got a mama or a daddy that's already passed on, if they're in heaven, they're wanting you to be saved. If they never were saved, and the people in hell want you to be saved, why don't you trust Jesus? Why don't you accept a gift that no mama can give you, no daddy can give you, but every mama and daddy would like their children at some time, either in this life or eternity, mamas and daddies, whether are living or dead, want their children to be saved. I promise you, there's not an unsaved parent in hell today that wants their son or daughter to come there. Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Hey, I hear preachers say that's angels rejoicing. No, it's not. They're rejoicing in the presence of the angels. It's saved people in heaven rejoicing over sinners getting saved. You may be here today and you're not saved and you've got a mama in heaven, daddy in heaven. You could turn this day into a day of rejoicing for them by accepting Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you are saved, but you're not right. You're not what you ought to be. Why don't you get right? Why don't you give your family a gift that money can't buy? a gift of a mother who gets their heart and life right with God and develops that sweet spirit that only comes from a right relationship with Him. I mean, don't settle for mostly sweet when you can have His joy and His blessings and His peace in your heart. The old devil's lie is to try to get us to let somebody else's sins rob us of God's peace and joy and blessings in our life. May God speak to our heart. Life has not been all that you dreamed it would be. And you're discouraged and despondent today. Well, let me tell you, if life's not what all you thought it was going to be, it's because you've been believing the wrong person. Sin never tells the truth. Even though we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this body of flesh is sinful and it's pulled and affected by the world and by sin. And every day there's a battle to keep a right spirit and keep away from sin. And let me tell you, there's a lot of Baptists in our churches today that are not drinking, they're not carousing, they're not immoral, but somebody's hurt them and they've got a bad spirit, and that's sin just as much as adultery sin or lying sin or murder sin. It'll steal away your joy, it'll steal away your peace, it'll steal away your right relationship with God. Some of you are today and saying, well, you don't understand. Man, it's not like I thought it was going to be. All of my dreams have crumbled. Well, you've put your dreams in the wrong thing. You've had your dreams placed in the wrong place. Won't you put them in Christ? Won't you learn to live by the principles and teachings of Scripture? Instead of allowing sin to find a dwelling place in you, why don't you confess it as sin and get it under the blood so He'll forgive it, wash it away, and never remember you again? I promise you, if you had cancer, if the doctor said, I found cancer in you, but it's in its early stages, you'd want to get it out and get rid of it as quickly as you could. But let me tell you, the least little sin is like a cancer eating at you. And the longer you allow it to have its handhold in your life, the more it spreads and eats and wrecks and ruins. Deal with it early. Deal with it quickly. Deal with it by name. Deal with it at an altar. Confess it to God. See it like God sees it. And ask God to forgive you of it and cleanse you of it so you can have a heart that's clean and a spirit that's sweet and an attitude that's appealing and attractive to the cause of Christ. Listen, folks. We are Christ in shoe leather today. We're Christians. People may not read the Bible, but the unsaved people look at your life and they read you. And they ought to see Jesus in you. Mamas, they ought to see an example of a godly Christian wife, a sweet spirit, one who's not lazy, one who loves her God and loves her husband and loves her children and works at building a Christian home. Jesus said, son, behold thy mother. What do your children see when they look at you? What does God see when He looks at you? We need revival in our homes. Let me tell you, we're never going to have revivals in our home until mamas and daddies get their heart and their life right with God. It's not the unsaved world that's holding back revival in our homes. It's Christian mamas and daddies that are allowing loose worldly living, carnality, to prevail. They're more concerned about being popular in the world than being right and blessed by God. I ask you today, mothers, on this Mother's Day, dedicate yourself to God. Make sure your relationship at home with your husband's right. Realize that you have influence on your children that they'll never get over in this life. Greatest human influence on my life was my mom and dad. And I've never gotten over it. And I never will this side of eternity. Father, just a simple thought this morning concerning mothers. Speak to our hearts. Help us to realize, dear God, this day is not just set aside to honor mothers, but it's set aside to encourage mothers to be the kind of mothers you want them to be. Thank you for godly mothers. Thank you for mothers who are willing to get right with God and be what you want them to be. And I pray in these next few moments of invitation that, oh God, you'd speak to hearts, and some mother who's not saved would get saved, or some mother who's not completely right with God would come and, the best she knows how, get completely right with you. I pray, Father, that sons and daughters would realize that they could do nothing that would please their Christian mother more than to be saved and to be right with God. Speak to our hearts today. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, let me ask a couple of questions of everyone here. First of all, how many of you know that you know that you know that you're saved? You're 100% certain if you died today, you'd go to heaven and you're glad of it. Could you slip your hand up right now and give testimony? Preacher, I'm saved and I know it, and I'm glad I'm saved. God bless you all over this place. Hands are up. You can put them down. While most everybody could raise their hands, perhaps you couldn't raise yours. And I want you to know God loves you just like He loves these others. He died for you on that old rugged cross just like He died for the others. And He wants you to be saved. The only reason you haven't been saved is you've not been willing to accept Him as your Savior. Would you let me pray for you? I promise you I won't embarrass you, and I won't come to you, and I won't point you out. I wouldn't do that for the world. But I would like to know I'm praying for you, and I would like to know for you to know I'm praying for you. And though you couldn't raise your hand a moment ago, I wonder right now, would you slip it up, and without saying a word, here's what your hand would mean. Pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I know I don't want to go to hell. If it's possible to be saved and know it before I face eternity, I'd like to be saved. Would you slip your hand up right now and indicate that's me? Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. All right. I wonder if there's someone here, especially a mother, that would say, preacher, there's something in my life that ought not be there. I know it is. God spoke to my heart about it. Pray for me. I sure do need to deal with this. I need to get victory over this in my heart, in my life. Pray for me. I want to be the right kind of mother. Would you slip your hand up? And preacher, that's me. God bless you and you and you and you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. For these who said, pray for me, God spoke to my heart. There's something there that shouldn't be there, and I know it. God, I'm asking you to help them give them courage and faith enough to come to an old-fashioned altar and kneel and leave it with you and ask you to forgive them for holding on to that which ought not be there, asking you to heal their heart and their spirit so they can be the kind of mother and wife and Christian you want them to be. Now, Father, maybe there's someone here that needs a church home, and this is where you'd have them serve. Help them to come this morning. Help them to join with this church the way this church receives members. Now, I've preached the message, and yet though I directed it to mothers, you may have directed it to a son or a daughter, to a daddy, a husband, a child. Speak to our hearts in this invitation and help each of us to be wise enough not to say no to the Holy Spirit as He tugs at our heartstrings, but to say yes and come and make the decision you ask us to make today for you. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask.